We are in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 42, and if we get a time, we'll go to chapter 43. Okay, we are going to start from verse 1.
Then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. For we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do.
The Johanan, last chapter, if you remember, delivered the people from Ishmael's hand and brought everybody back to Jerusalem and surrounding areas. Now he thought he's the leader now, so he can do anything about these people. Now he's the one who saved these people. And he has some other leaders with him. So what they said, we are going to ask Jeremiah what we should do. The time of Gedaliah, Babylonian people made Gedaliah as a governor. And some of the poor people left. They were there and they said, okay, you stay here, do farming. Go and do vineyards and everything, and nobody will bother you. And you learned last week that Gedaliah was killed by Ishmael. But some people came from different countries, like Moab and Ammon and some other places. And so now Jonathan is thinking, if we stay in Jerusalem, maybe Babylonian people will make somebody governor or somebody king. But there is no safety because this Ishmael can come back and he might bring the army from Ammon. And then we will be killed. God said to the people in the beginning, if you go to Babylon, I'll protect you. You can go and grow there, get married, get your children, get married and grandchildren, and be there happy, joyful, and I will protect you. And some of the people left, but some stubborn people, they didn't go. But God said to them, if you go to another country, run away from here and not to go to Babylon, you'll be killed. If you stay in Jerusalem, you'll be killed with the sword, famine, and disease. When these people left behind, they are asking a question to Jeremiah. They are saying, we beg you, please go and ask God what we should do. We should stay here, we should go to Babylon, or we should go to Egypt, or what we should do. Because without God's permission, we are not going to do anything. So you go and ask God, and whatever God says, we will do. That sounds very good. Up to now, these people did not do the will of God, and that's why they get into trouble. But it looks like these people have the repentant heart. These people are saying, we are going to do exactly what God says. So please go and ask your God. And we saw last time Jeremiah was just walking and God told him to go back and talk to the people. But this time, God did not give answer to Jeremiah right away. It took almost 10 days. Let's read verse 4.
Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you.
Now Jeremiah told them very well, your request is good. I'm going to ask God, and whatever God says, I will never keep anything secret. I will explain to you exactly what God says. And so now he's going to go to God for prayer. Now this is not a one-day prayer. He is praying first day, second day, third day, almost 10th day, God answered him. Jeremiah was not frustrated. Jeremiah didn't say, hey, I'm not getting answer from God. Let go and tell these people, God is not answering me. But when you talk to God, you should have patience. Patiently wait what God says. Jeremiah was not running for the answer or not. He was not panicked. When the people were sitting in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come, they didn't go 1 or 2 or 3 days, stayed there for 10 days. Because Jesus Christ was risen and went 40th day to heaven. And 10 more days is 50th day. So the 50th day, the Pentecost day, the Holy Spirit was sent. But Jesus did not say when the Holy Spirit will come. Same way when the Jeremiah is praying, 10 days there is no answer. And as soon as he got the answer, he said, okay, now I'm going to go and tell these people. Let's see what he's doing. Verse 5.
Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things, for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us.
Now again, this is the second time they are saying to Jeremiah, whatever God says, for God is faithful and true, he will tell you the truth, and whatever he says, we will obey him. Verse 6.
Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God.
Now here again, they are saying, if God says something good, we will listen. If he says something bad, which is not acceptable to us, we will still listen to the voice of God. Because he says, when we obey the voice of God, we will be blessed. Now, this much knowledge they have, this much desire they have, from this, anyone can say, these people are really transformed, these people are really, really wants to listen. And this is what some God's people say. They ask pastor, they ask mother, father advice. They give them good advice. They say, this time we are going to listen to you. Whatever you say, because whatever you say before and we didn't listen and we get into trouble. But they repeatedly make mistake. Same mistake again and again and again. This is the stubbornness. And see what, because of this stubbornness, they get into trouble. See what they said very nicely. They are saying to God, they are saying to man of God, we will obey. And see what they do, verse 7.
And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people, from the least even to the greatest. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you.
Now here God changed his plan. Up to now God says, go to Babylon. Don't stay in this land. If you stay in this land, you will be destroyed. Now most of the people, they went to Babylon. And now this is a remnant. Very few people are remaining. And now here God says, I feel sorry for you people. Whatever I have done, I have chased you from here in a foreign land. When I see this, you are suffering. I want to change my plan. This time, you stay in this country. I'll build you up. I will not pluck you out. You stay here and you will be blessed. Verse 11.
Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand.
Now he is saying again, I know you are afraid of Babylonian people. I know that you thinking that Babylonian people will come and kill with your sword and famine will come and disease will come. That's the way I told you before. But now I'm changing, not to be afraid of Babylonia, because he says, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. Whatever God says, Nebuchadnezzar will listen. God can tell the Nebuchadnezzar, now that my people are there, rest of the people came here, now don't bother them, he will listen. If you remember in last chapters we learned, one of the Nebuchadnezzar captain starts saying, this is what your God says. And because you didn't listen to your God, that's why you people are in trouble. The same God can talk to the captain, he can talk to the Nebuchadnezzar, he can talk to anybody and say, listen, don't bother my people. So he says, you are afraid of Babylonian people, you are afraid of kings, but they will not bother you. Verse 12.
And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God.
I can change this heart, and he will not bother you. He will protect you, so you stay in this land. But if you change your mind and do not stay in this land, and you try to go somewhere else, you will have problem. Okay, 14.
Saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die.
God gives them warning. Listen, you people are thinking in Egypt there is no war. There is no sound of trumpet. People are living in peacefully. So we will go to Egypt. That might be your thinking in your mind. They were already thinking, because if you remember last time, they were camping at Bethlehem, and they were thinking, we can move from Bethlehem to Egypt very easily. So that was in their mind. But at the same time, they start feeling guilty. How can we go to Egypt? God brought us out of Egypt, and Egypt is a bad place. And God says, don't go to Egypt. But now, they're thinking, we have no choice. If you stay in Jerusalem, we'll be killed. If you go to Babylon, we are going to foreign land. Egypt is the only place. There is no war. So we will go there. But the God says through Jeremiah, you know what? If you go to Egypt, sword will be after you. Famine will be there. And disease will be there. Exactly. You stay in Jerusalem before I said, this is what's going to happen. But now I'm reversing. If you stay in Jerusalem, you stay in Judea, no famine, no sword, no disease will come, because I feel sorry about you people. I changed my mind and I want to bless you. But if you go to Egypt, same thing. The sword, famine, and disease will come. So clearly he is giving a choice. Verse 17.
So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter into Egypt, and ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more.
He's saying very clearly, if you go to Egypt, there is no chance to coming back to your own land. There you'll die with the sword, famine, and disease. And this is what the warning God is giving repeatedly. Verse 19.
The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you.
Jeremiah is saying, you told me to go and ask God, and this is what God says, but I don't see any changes in your heart. You can see, they didn't say anything yet. They're just sitting or standing and listening. But if the preacher preaching, or your mother or father is saying something, and they see the expression of your face, how you receiving the word, are you angry about it, are you made up your mind to do something wrong, then we can see from your faces. So Jeremiah recognized they didn't like my message. So they might be thinking to go to Egypt. So he's saying, if you wanted to go to Egypt, why did you bother me? Why did you tell me to go to God? And you said, go to God, and God, whatever God says, we'll listen. But now I'm giving the message, but I don't think anyone has a desire to change. You remember the preacher preaches, and people say, amen. When they say amen, that means they are with him, they're listening, they agree what he's saying. So here, when the Jeremiah is preaching, their faces are getting red, they are getting angry, they are looking at Jeremiah angrily. So Jeremiah came to know, these people don't want to listen. Verse 22.
Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn.
Now again, this is the final notice. He says, okay, you decided in your heart to go. Let me tell you again. This is certainly means God is not going to change his mind. There will be sword, there will be famine, there will be disease, and that's the way you're going to die when you go to Egypt. Now, this is not a one time. Repeatedly, he told the Israeli people, if you make a wrong decision, you're going to suffer. Now, just think. You have that kind of nature, you have to be wise enough to get the warning. These people already heard it. Several times Jeremiah said, they didn't say anything. They're just listening. But Jeremiah can sense in his spirit, these people are stubborn, they are not going to listen, and they are going to go whatever they want to do, they are going to do. And that's the way the chapter finishes. And chapter 43, verse 1, see what they're doing.
And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there.
All these people's name they given, and says, all the proud men. All these people were listening, but they were proud people. Yohanan says, hey, I'm the one deliver the people from Ishmael's hand. Who is he telling us what to do? We made a mistake asking him. We knew that he is going to tell us something lie. And what they're saying, you know what? You are lying to us. You are not telling what God says. God will never tell you that we should not go to Egypt. You are the one told us before. If you stay in Jerusalem, the sword and famine and disease will come. And now you change it. Now you're saying if you stay, no famine, no sword, and no disease, and you'll be fine. And a few days ago you said if you stay this way, you'll die. And now you're saying if you go, you'll die. We are confused. Maybe you are lying. Maybe God didn't say to you anything like that. What Jeremiah said, whatever God says, I will not keep anything secret. I will tell you exactly what God says. Now just think. They asked the question, and Jeremiah went, and within 5 minutes he would have come back. Hey, God says this. And if you would have start saying this message, they will surely say, I didn't think God told you. God took a 10 days to tell these people. Within a 10 days, Satan sowed some evil seed. You know what? Jeremiah is going to come and give us some bad news, and we don't want to listen to him. They already made up their mind. And when Jeremiah said to them, the word of God says, proud people were listening, and they are saying, you know what? This is not the message of God. This is the message your own. Not only that, they said, you know, you have your secretary, Baruch, maybe he inspired you. Maybe both of you told us what to do. Instead of asking God, you asked Baruch. And Baruch told you. Because God will never tell you we should not go to Egypt. Now, if they have a right mind, they would know if God wanted to keep them in Egypt, why did God brought them out of Egypt? But now God is saying, don't go to Egypt, and I will bless you here. They don't want to listen. See what the word of God is saying. Verse 3.
But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah.
They are saying, Baruch and you decided to tell us this story, but this is not from God. So now they are teaming up all these Johanan and his army and team and everybody, and they say, listen, we are not going to stay in Judah. Not only that, all the people we delivered and all the people coming from different states, we are going to take them and we are going to go to Egypt anyhow. And not only that, they decided, you know what, if Jeremiah is with us and Baruch is with us, God is not going to kill us. So let's kidnap these people. Let's force them to go with us. So these people said, God wants to kill us in Egypt. Let's take Jeremiah with us. Let's take Baruch with us and see what God is going to do. If we are killed, they will be killed also. Let's go and read verse 6.
Even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah.
All these people, they are saying, all the people who were left in Jerusalem, including Jeremiah, including Baruch, they took with them, and now they are doing journey, or going for the journey to Egypt. Verse 7.
So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, and thus came they even to Tapanes.
They did not listen to the word. They came to Egypt, and the name of the place is Tapanes. Now they camped there, or they waited there, and they said, wow, we are now in Egypt. Nothing happened. Jeremiah is with us, Baruch is with us, and God is not going to zap us. If God wanted to kill us, he would have killed us in a journey. But God did not kill us. We are already safe here. So God is not going to do anything. That's the way people think. When they do something wrong and they don't feel guilty, they're thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong. Nothing is going to happen. I know this situation. I was before in this situation. And nothing happened. So maybe God changed his mind. He's not going to do any harm to us. That's what these people are thinking. Jeremiah is with us. Baruch is with us. All the people are with us. King's daughters are with us. And so we are all safe, landed in Egypt. Now nothing is going to happen. But see what God is saying in Egypt. Because prophet was there, so God used the prophet to give them message. Verse 8.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tapanes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tapanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah.
Now God says to Jeremiah, you know what? Take a big stone in front of these people. They are watching you. When you take a big stone, they are going to say, what Jeremiah is doing? So everybody is going to watch. So you pick up a big stone and you carry that stone and bring it to the palace where the Egyptian king lives. And his palace, there is some outside brick and things like that. Take this stone, make some clay and brick and hide this stone, means like a plant this stone in front of the door and see what happens. Verse 10.
And to say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them.
Now he said, this stone is a symbolic when I'm putting there, but the king Nebuchadnezzar one day will come, destroy the Egypt, and set his throne or maybe camping here to destroy Egyptians. This is symbolic. Tell these people, this stone will tell you that the king Nebuchadnezzar is coming to destroy you. Each time you look at the stone, it will remind you that the king is coming. Jesus Christ says, I will come and say the kingdom, the message, the word of God to be preached around the world, and then I'll come. And the people are preaching. 2,000 years ago, they start preaching. And Paul said at that time, all the world I preached, there is nothing to remaining. So they thought maybe Jesus Christ is coming. Now the word is spreading and spreading, and the gospel is preached. Devil doesn't want the gospel to be preached, but gospel is preached around the world. Radio, television, printed pages, people are going house to house and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The time has come. But just like the stone was put in there and they're looking at the stone, a king is not coming yet. But the word of God says he will come. The heaven and earth will pass. But whatever Jesus Christ says, it will never pass away. It will fulfill. So Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming to set up the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar coming to Egypt to destroy the people. Jesus Christ is coming to destroy the enemy and save the Israeli people. These people got the warning that Egypt will be in trouble and Nebuchadnezzar will come and destroy them. 11.
And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword.
Now he says, when the king comes, he will do exactly what God says to him. So he says, he comes to Egypt, he will kill some people. He said, death to death. Some of the people are worse people. They don't listen, they will be killed. And some of the people will be captive. Someday they might be captive to Babylon, and they have chances to return. Different people will have different chances. So he is saying the sword, the captivity, and death is coming to you. Verse 12.
And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace.
Now here is saying, when the Nebuchadnezzar king comes, he says he will destroy the Egypt, but God says, I will kindle a fire. Even though he says, enemy I'm sending, but I am the one who is going to set this Egypt on fire. And when he comes, he will burn the city, He will carry people captives, and he will do it so easily. That means Egyptian's army will not have any power to destroy him. He says, I'll give an example. He says, like a shepherd wears his garment. The shepherd's garment is not like a three-piece suit. But it's a shepherd, he says, it's a long cloak. He just wrap around and go. So he said he will just come and wrap everything around. The poor people will be destroyed, and he will not have any scar, anything. He will safely go. That means Egyptian people will not have any power to do any damage to the Babylonian king. And verse 13.
He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt. The houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire.
And he says, not only he will destroy the people and captive people, but all their images. Some of the images are gold, some of the images are brass or wood or stone or whatever. All the images will be burned. All the temples, he will go to the temple and destroy all these things with the fire. So this is the warning was given after these people came to Egypt. He's trying to say, you are in Egypt, but this is not the safe place. But I didn't hear these people saying, oh, Jeremiah, can we go back to Judah or Jerusalem before these things happens, before problem comes? But they did not say. All these evil things they heard, they had a chance. They heard the horrible stories that they will be fired, they will be sword, there will be destruction. Egyptian's army will not do anything. And this is a horrible thing, so horrible days are coming. They should have said to Jeremiah, can we go back to our own country? Can God forgive us? That would have been good. But stubbornly, they did not listen. When they went there, they did not have any fear of God, but they'd start doing worse thing, just the thing they used to do in Judah. Idol worship and everything. And what their answer is? They're saying, you know what? We were in our country, our kings, and we worship all the idols, and we were prosperous. We had everything. We had no problem. Why? Because years and years and years and years and years, the prophecy came. Jeremiah itself says, 23 years I'm talking to you people. Before that, there are so many other prophets came and told them that you'll go to exile and you'll be scattered all around the world. He said, hey, 30 years, 40 years, this thing they are selling, nothing is happening. And now we are in Egypt. All around us, they are idol worshippers. So just mingle with them and do what they do, and then we will be safe. And that's the kind of life people start living in Egypt. But somebody say, why God did not destroy them immediately? Our God is so loving and so kind. Warning comes one after another. You don't take the warning, the Bible said, then sudden destruction will come. There won't be any warning anymore. So I'm just saying, if you have a stubborn heart, who cares, pastor says, he keep on saying, he's a different kind of guy. I will do whatever I want to do. I want to see God is so loving and so kind. And God loves me, unconditionally. Whatever I do, nothing happens. That's the kind of teaching going on today. Once you are saved, saved forever. You are Christian today, tomorrow you'll be Muslim, and you die, You will still go to heaven because you gave your life to God. Doesn't work that way. God says you have to be faithful until death. You cannot turn around and go and be Muslim, go and be Hindu, and go be prostitute, and do whatever you want to do, and say, oh, God will bless me because God loves me. And I did this and this and nothing happened. And I can do it again and again and nothing will happen. It will not work that way. We cannot fight with God and say, I can do anything and people should respect me, people should love me, people should tell that I'm a greatest. The world is doing that. The life is very short. Don't play game with life. Do you know that lady who took the Bible out of the schools and everything? And her son was supporting her. And one day he got saved. And then his mother got against him and whole world was against him. And he said, you know, but now I got Jesus. And I'm going to tell everybody. But he didn't know. Nobody told him how to be a Christian. He was alcoholic. And he was having a lot of problem. Nobody told him how to give up the alcohol. He gave his heart to the Lord and he says, 52 weeks. I went to church. I repented. And I did again the same thing. And I 52 weeks mean whole year I was repenting and getting saved. But there was no pastor. Nobody took me aside and said, sir, I want to talk to you. What can I do for you? Do you know anybody, new person comes here? I talk to that person. I sit with that person and pray with that person. The point I'm making, this man was struggling. He said, I got saved, I got born again, but I was smoking 3 pack of cigarette a day. And nobody told me how to give up. And so one day, 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, he got up to do something. I forgot what he was going to do. But there was a cigarette. And he said, I'm going to take the cigarette and smoke. And right away he thought in his mind, early in the morning, a cigarette? I don't want to be bound to this cigarette. So he just prayed to God, said, Lord, help me. I do not want any cigarette and I don't want any desire of this cigarette. And he said, I just took that cigarette, put it in the packet and crushed that packet in my hand and threw it out and went to bed. Next day morning, he said, I had no desire of smoking. So he says, nobody tells people. But somebody says, you know, when you give it to God, God will give you grace. There are people 30 years, 40 years, pastors saying, cigarette is bad, the drug is bad, and this is bad. They listen, this way, goes that way. Then what happened? Cancer comes, disease comes, problem comes. If they would all listen to somebody, it would not happen. So the point I'm making, don't be stubborn. Don't say other person was smoking 50 years and he gave up and nothing happened. So I can do the up to 50 and then I'll give up. You never know that you will live 50. We are living by grace. And we have to take the warning. The message comes to you. You say, Lord, I will listen. These are the things happened to this Israeli people thousands of years ago. We are studying why this happened to these people. Can we get any lessons from them? Can we change our life or we want to do a miserable thing like Israeli people and get into trouble? Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace to follow you. When we hear your voice, through the word, through the message, through the dream, through the vision, or someone comes and tells me, This is what God says. And say, Lord, is this your message? And follow the Lord. Give us grace to follow you. And we will never go wrong. All our sickness, all our pain, all our suffering, whatever we are going through, we turn to God and say, God, you are the source of my supply. Nobody can give me joy and peace. Jesus is the answer. So Lord, give us grace, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.